Well, NASA released data this week showing that August was the hottest August on record, and it tied July as the hottest month the world has ever seen since record-keeping began 136 years ago. August was the 11th record-setting month in a row. Scientists are pointing to rising levels of greenhouse gases and are raising concerns about what warming temperatures will mean for sea levels, which are already rising. Many cities and towns are assessing high-risk areas and figuring out how to limit damage. Jason Moon from Here and Now contributor New Hampshire Public Radio reports on ways some coastal communities in New Hampshire are preparing for the future.
In downtown Portsmouth, a little red brick building sits along the water near the mouth of the city's harbor. There's nothing remarkable about it. It's just a windowless brick box with a set of gray doors. But for environmental planner Peter Britz, those doors represent the front lines in the struggle to protect Portsmouth from a rising ocean.
We're looking at the outside of the pump station with doors and two steps up to the pump station, and the water has gotten to basically the bottom of the first step.
Keeping water away from those doors is important to Britz because of what's behind them, a major pump station for the city's sewage system.
When a big event like a hurricane or flooding event happens on the coast, or sea level rise over the long term happens and water compromises this pump station, it essentially stops the ability to treat wastewater.
In other words, if the water reaches the door sill, the entire city of Portsmouth might not be able to flush the toilet. Britz is trying to identify vulnerable areas like this in the city's infrastructure and then figure out the best way to adapt them by raising a door sill, widening a culvert, or moving a storm drain. It's just one of the ways New Hampshire communities are planning for the impacts of climate change. Scientists predict the average high tide could rise by as much as 2 feet by the year 2050, and by 2100, it could be over 6 feet higher than it is today. And rather than building huge levees or erecting massive seawalls, many in New Hampshire are working on less obvious solutions.
Then use the artificial ones where we don't really have...
At nearby Cuts Cove in Portsmouth, David Burdick with the University of New Hampshire shows me what might be the most counterintuitive solution to climate readiness, tearing down an existing seawall.
This will be the first living shoreline where we're trying to get rid of a non-living shoreline.
The cove's non-living shoreline, called riprap, is basically a bank of large rocks piled along the water's edge. This hard coastal armoring has long been a hallmark of seacoast communities. Now, Burdick and a team of engineers are planning to replace a large section of the steep rock bank with a gradually sloping salt marsh, a living shoreline.
That salt marsh will grow in elevation. As it's flooded with salt water, it collects sediments and it will actually build an elevation, protecting the shoreline behind it.
The restoration of this salt marsh will provide protection for the shoreline, but it will also do something a rock wall can't, provide an important habitat for wildlife.
If we create systems where we don't have these salt marshes, like these walls, we're not going to have the fish. So if we want fish, if we want healthy habitats, we're going to have a combination of hard structures and soft structures.
While Burdick is busy creating natural habitats that protect shorelines, the city of Dover, northwest of Portsmouth, is hoping to do something similar. Only in this case, the habitat is for people and businesses.
But not for long. It's going to be gorgeous in no time.
City planner Steve Bird and engineer Rob Rosine show me a patch of overgrown land near the Cochico River in Dover. It used to be the site of a factory, then the city's wastewater treatment plant. Today, Bird and Rosine imagine it as a mixed-use development with apartments, retail spaces, and a waterfront park. They see this as an opportunity to fortify 2,000 feet of waterfront property, building, Rosine says, with the knowledge that, like it or not, the area will flood.
You plan for storms to occur. So there would be certain spaces here where we would say, all right, when this area floods, we're going to put the floods through here, and we're going to design for it so that there's minimal impact.
That new waterfront park would be built on a gentle slope, making it a new public green space and a sort of sponge for storm surge water. It would also add elevation to the property, putting the first floors of all the structures above even the highest projections for sea level rise.
These type of changes in planning are very much like you would see a change in electrical efficiency or fire safety or water quality, where it's just an incremental cost.
incremental costs that will likely show up in ways large, small, and unexpected over the next several decades as seacoast communities try to adapt to a new reality. For Here and Now, I'm Jason Moon in New Hampshire.